Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. The Reverend Trevor Freudenberg is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desperate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all of these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the apostles had to live by faith. They had no other choice. Before our reading this morning, at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, Jesus sends them out on their mission to the world. And perhaps unlike how we might pack for travels, or at least how I pack when I travel, when I go through checklist after checklist, ensuring that I have everything that I need, that the car has enough air in the tires, the oil doesn't need change, that I have my podcast ready for the drive, that I've got my coffee right there in the cup holder. Unlike how we might prepare when we travel, Jesus told his disciples that as they are sent, they are to, quote, "take nothing for your journey. No staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there, depart." The apostles had to live by faith. Trust that God would provide for them and all that they needed, that God would provide for them through the people that he brought into their lives. Those first disciples simply had to live by faith. I suppose at this point, the lesson from Luke 9 is actually pretty simple. If you're going to be in this Jesus-following game, if you intend to pick up your cross and follow Jesus wherever he leads you in your life, whether that is professional church work or some other vocation, if you follow Jesus, you must rely on it. In one sense, it doesn't really matter if your cabinets are full of food for future years to come, or even if you have no idea from where your next meal will arrive, you need to rely on Christ. It's about more than money, of course. It's a matter of the heart. But I suppose life by faith is a little more obvious if you are in the place of the disciples and you simply must leave everything and journey out with no bag, no bread, no money. Following Jesus is a matter of faith, trust. If you follow him, you have to trust him. And I suppose that in our text today, the feeding of the 5,000, one of only a few texts that appear in all 4 gospel readings, the apostles' faith, their trust in their Lord, seems to waver just a bit. They have gone through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere, and they return and they tell Jesus what they have done. And the crowds, as they so often do, begin to gather around Jesus. And as the crowds gather, perhaps the questions gather as well in the disciples' minds, and their faith and their trust begins to wane the littlest bit. What is it they say to Jesus in our reading today? "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in this desolate place." You see these people, Jesus, who are crowding to you. Why don't you send them away from us? Now, why would they say that? Didn't they see in their own journeys, as they preached the gospel, as they healed many, didn't they see how Jesus has provided for them? Don't they have firsthand experience of how Jesus cares for them? And yet, as soon as that crowd begins to arrive, the first thought they have is simply to send them away. The need is too great, the problem's too vast. Perhaps even Jesus couldn't satisfy the needs of all of these people. We might even say their faith, their trust in Jesus might seem to be waning. And if they were to stay there, if they had kept going in this direction of doubt, the results might be disastrous. Where might the hearts of these followers of Christ go? What might be the fruit of the seeming beginning of faithlessness? C.S. Lewis' 1945 novel, The Great Divorce, takes a look at an imagined, supposed vision of the afterlife. It's not really what Lewis thought would happen exactly after die, but even for Lutherans, like Dante's Inferno before it, this novel has much to teach us about our life with God and our life with Christ here and now. In that novel, the unnamed narrator and guide through the afterlife, Scottish poet and pastor George MacDonald, encounters a woman who will not enter heaven. In fact, she resolutely refuses to enter heaven. Why? Well, simply because she complains. The narrator doesn't think this is such a big deal, that she's merely a garrulous old woman, but George MacDonald understands the depth of this problem. She complains. She grumbles, like the Israelites in the desert who grumbled at God's provision of manna, perhaps like the apostles might be at risk of doing here. She complains until she becomes a grumble. In the novel, MacDonald explains that this woman does not just complain. It's not just something she does. It has become who she is. She has become a grumble. MacDonald in the novel describes how this begins. Quote, "It begins with a grumbling mood, and yourself still distinct from it, perhaps criticizing it, and yourself in a dark hour may well embrace that mood. Ye can repent and come out of it again, but there may come a day when you can do that no longer. Then there will be no you left to criticize the mood, nor even to enjoy it, but just the grumble itself going on forever like a machine." Perhaps because the disciples had to live by faith, like the Israelites before them, they are at risk of becoming a grumble. All of these people, all of these problems, how will we ever manage to feed them all? What will we do? And if they aren't fed, isn't this one more piece of evidence that God and Jesus might not be faithful to us? Perhaps we too are always, as those who live by faith, at risk of becoming a grumble, especially those who are involved in church work. As the church seems to be losing status and stature in society, we wonder how we will make ends meet as our churches shrink, our influence seems to decline. How will we, like the apostles before us, continue to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to a world which desperately needs to hear of their Savior from sin and death? No, we perhaps do not have 5,000 men and many more crowding the doors of our churches. But as we think of our mission to the world, we have our crowds here and abroad that desperately need Jesus, just like the crowd in Luke 9. Where can we find the resources to go on the journey that Jesus has set out for each one of us? And yet when we are faithless, when our faith and trust wanes, when we can't see how we will make it through the next day, week, month, or year, when we are faithless, He is faithful. Though the disciples' faith is waning, Jesus provides, as He always does, as we just sang in hymn 855. He takes those five loaves and the two fish. He says this blessing over them, and he gives them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Consider those disciples, those who perhaps mere moments before doubted whether God could or would provide. They are now God's instruments to bless the world. That's a pretty good image for what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus wherever it is that he takes us. We have our moments of doubt when our faith seems to wane. How could it not, when we are so often blinded by our own needs and wants and weakness? And if we are being honest, how often we are blinded by our own sin when we are turned in upon ourselves. And yet when we are faithless, he is always faithful. The same God who rained down manna upon the Israelites, this same Jesus who fed the 5,000 and many more that day, this same Jesus continues to feed us and sustain our faith by his word and sacrament. As his body and blood, just like the bread that day, is given miraculously all over the world in the Lord's Supper to feed far more than 5,000. When we are faithless, he is faithful. And that faith is, after all, not our work, not our achievement, the very gift of God. So may the God who gave us this faith in his Son continue to strengthen that faith through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may that peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.